Join us now for Tundra Topics, brought to you as a public service by the Bank of Fairbanks. The latest news of your friends and neighbors throughout the territory. Plans for the Days of 98 program at Skagway for the summer are well underway with 19 dances planned. The first was given June 7th. A theme song, Sourdough, is to be published and sold as sheet music for 50 cents per copy. There will also be a pocket piece for the tourist, not larger than a half dollar, but the design will not be one of Soapy Smith. Tundra Topics regrets to report the death of John A. Lund. After a short illness, John A. Lund, born in Sweden, July 7, 1864, died at the Overnell Nursing Home, Burlington, Washington, on May 20th. He came to Washington State in 1891, living in the Stanwood District, working at his trade as a carpenter. In 1898, with Peter Henning of Stanwood, David and Charles Strandberg of Anchorage and Fairbanks, and others, he went into the Klondike over the Chilkoot Pass. They took their outfit by river to Dawson on scows and boats of whipsawed lumber. During his stay in the Klondike, he worked at placer mining on several creeks, sometimes with the Strandberg brothers. With them, he came to Fairbanks in 1904, working on their property until the stampede of Iditarod in 1910. Here he worked at his trade and as construction man. From 1931 to 1942, he worked with the Happy Creek Mining Company at Flat. He was a very skillful and dependable man, and could do anything around a mining camp and do it well. For a short time, Lund resided in Anchorage, but 4 years ago he went to Arlington to make his home with Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Olson. He was a member of the Grand Igloo Pioneers of Alaska, joining in 1913. He was a real pioneer who did his share in developing Alaska. He leaves a sister, Mrs. Emma Sandberg, in Sweden. Archie Ferguson has spent the past week in St. Joseph's Hospital for medical treatment. He was discharged from the hospital Monday and expects to be leaving tomorrow afternoon for Kotzebue. Joe Hollick of Minchumina left his trap line to spend a few days in Fairbanks. Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence and their daughter Eva came in from Anvik. Mrs. Ray Olson gave birth to a 7-pound, 6-ounce baby girl at St. Joseph's Hospital at 1:10 this morning. Mrs. Olson is a resident of Fairbanks, originally from Circle Hot Springs. Mr. Olson is employed at Ladd Field. The new baby has two sisters. Mother and child are doing fine. Steve Vukovich, Alaskan representative for Brighton Custom Tailors, arrived in Fairbanks from Juneau. A Ladd Air Force Base enlisted man and his wife were killed Monday afternoon when their Piper Super Cruiser crashed near Eagle Creek on the Stees Highway. The couple had taken off from Weeks Field Sunday afternoon and had spent the Sunday night at Circle Hot Springs due to adverse weather conditions. It was on the return trip to Weeks Field that the accident occurred. An Air Force C-47 piloted by Lieutenant Thomas Krieger located the wreckage shortly after 8 p.m. yesterday evening. A helicopter piloted by Lieutenant Robert W. Barnhill from the 10th Rescue Squadron with medical personnel on board was immediately dispatched to the scene. However, rescuers found both persons dead in the wreckage. They had apparently been killed instantly. The Air Force is withholding names of the victims pending notification of next of kin. Every night at this same time, year after year, Tundra Topics has been heard. And every day, year after year, the Bank of Fairbanks has been rendering financial assistance and advice to Alaskans. Remember, for friendly personal banking service and information, rely on the Bank of Fairbanks. Tune our way tomorrow night at this same time for more Tundra Topics.
Tundra Topics. Yes, it's time once again to listen to your nightly report about your friends and neighbors throughout Alaska. Brought to you by the Bank of Fairbanks in an earnest endeavor to provide you with information of an up-to-date nature about people and places in the territory. An airplane and searching party this afternoon combed a section on the old Nenana Road out of Esther in search of Tom Donahue. Quinto Paulini, operating a woodcutting camp about 10 miles from Esther on the old road to Nenana, today appealed for aid from the U.S. Marshal's office. Donahue, one of Paulini's employees, left the wood camp yesterday to get water at a water hole about a mile from their work location. When Donahue did not return, Paulini and other woodcutters went to look for Donahue, but with no success. The water hole is said to be too shallow for Donahue to have drowned there, and there are no clues as to the whereabouts of the missing man. This afternoon, a plane of Interior Airways, with Quinto Paolini as passenger and observer, scanned the area with no luck. Tom Donahue was about 40 years of age, wore a checked shirt with brown pants, and also was wearing a hat. 5 feet 8 inches in height, he is dark and rather thin. Anyone who may have information about Donahue is requested to get in touch with the U.S. Commissioner or the U.S. Marshal's office. H.E. Carter of Fort Yukon has relayed information of a second missing man to be reported on tonight's Tundra Topics. Joe Nitro, well-known Alaskan, reports that on the way down from Old Crow, he stopped at New Rampart to find that the cabin of Harry Healy had been broken into by a wolverine. The fact that Healy's bedroll and grub were left at the cabin indicated that Healy had not gone on a long trip. It is concluded that he must have met with an accident. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police visited Healy last February and found him to be in good health at that time. And a third missing person is reported tonight. U.S. Marshal Stanley J. Nichols today announced that a search party is to leave Manly Hot Springs soon in search of Carl F. Clark, crew member of the river steamer Alice. A letter from U.S. Commissioner Carl F. Benson of Manly Hot Springs says Clark left Manly Hot Springs where he'd been on the steamer Alice. The departure date was May 31st. He left at noontime that day, heading downstream. Inquiries as to Clark's whereabouts have been without avail. The missing man is said by fellow crew members to have been acting in a strange manner during the downriver trip. He did not say where he was going when he left Manly Hot Springs. Catherine S. Peters of Fort Yukon informs Tundra Topics that she will be a passenger flying to Arctic Village on June 12th. We repeat, Catherine Peters of Fort Yukon will fly to Arctic Village June 12th. Aubrey Dill is expected in from Jack Wade on tomorrow's flight of Alaska Airlines. Archie Ferguson, Arctic-famed pilot who recently underwent an appendectomy at St. Joseph's Hospital, will fly home to Kotzebue with Ween Alaska Airlines tomorrow. And Sig Ween, president and pilot of Ween Alaska, is in town from Barrow and other Arctic points, and he plans to be here for several days. Mining man Joe Degnan is in Fairbanks from Ophir. Mr. and Mrs. Bob Byers from Manly Hot Springs are in Fairbanks. The many friends of Mr. and Mrs. Joe McDonald, longtime Fairbanks resident, will be pleased to hear that the McDonalds are driving up the highway and are due here in Fairbanks at any time. Joe McDonald is the former U.S. Marshal for this area. Frank Dunham, former Fairbanks druggist and one-time druggist in the Iditarod country, arrived in Fairbanks today with his nephew, Wilbur Beeler. Mr. Dunham, now residing in Seattle, is here on business and to talk over old times with his many pioneer friends. 9-year-old Oliver Alexander, son of Mr. and Mrs. Samuel Alexander, was an emergency passenger with pilot Don Toussaint last night. The boy's appendix had ruptured while at home at Fort Yukon, and he was flown to St. Joseph's Hospital here. He's now resting easily. Financial service, such as that given by the Bank of Fairbanks to its patrons, is a regular service. Year in and year out, you'll always find the same courteous, friendly interest and advice that has marked the Bank of Fairbanks as outstanding. Use this service and know that you're getting the best. Tundra Topics will be heard again tomorrow night at this same time. So, we'll see you then.
This is Henry Gunninger, 10th Rescue Squadron, Ladfield. Is that enough?
Talk louder.
Go ahead. That's loud enough?
Well, I can run up here. Be a little closer. Talk a little closer to the mic.
Oh, I fixed your carburetor. I took it apart and cleaned it and found a couple worn spots, and I put in a couple new jets and a new choke lever. I think we ought to... I'm going to let you look at it, and then we'll take it off and decide what you want to put on or not. Which one you want to send back.
That's fine, Henry.
That ought to be enough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, thanks a lot.